Sometimes certain passages in the Bible really need context. They don't make as much sense to us in this day and age. But when these passages are seen in their context, they make perfect sense, and we can see how they're still applicable today. This passage today from Luke, though, feels like the polar opposite of that. This is one of those passages that feels like if it were to happen today, here in Fresno, it would completely fit and make sense. Unfortunately, we don't often think through the implications of it. The gospel passage begins with Jesus praying. The disciples are nearby. And then he asks them, "Who do people say I am?" And they give a few different answers, John the Baptist, Elijah, an older prophet. And there would be surprisingly similar answers today. People today, again, have pretty varied views of Jesus. Some out there would probably see him as some sort of historical figure. Some would think that he's a philosopher. Some atheists would probably go so far as to try and argue he never existed to begin with. But then Jesus asks point blank, "Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" And the same question needs to be asked of us today. I've seen people get so wrapped up in what others have to say about Jesus, getting others to believe in Jesus or believe the right things about him, that they don't think about how they themselves see Jesus. And I'm not saying we shouldn't care at all about what others say about Jesus, but before we can talk to others about faith, we need to make sure it's a faith that we hold to as much as we can. We shouldn't be talking with them about faith in the abstract. We should be talking with them about our faith. And as part of that faith, each of us should be asking this question. And if we're honest with ourselves, what seems simple is actually a pretty big question. Can each of us say Jesus is the Christ of God, the Lord, God himself, that we believe that and that it affects us throughout our lives? It's something that, again, can be easy to say, but also easy to neglect in our lives. I mean, it does say in Matthew 7 that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's something we should say, but also something that should be shown in the way we live our lives. It reminds me of a story I heard about a Christian who had a Muslim friend. They get lunch and discuss their faiths. And one day the Christian was explaining what communion was, and about how God became man, and how communion strengthens and feeds the relationship that we have with God, who dwells in us. And the Muslim seemed unnerved by the explanation. He asked the Muslim if there was something he disagreed with, or something that he didn't understand, and the Muslim told him, "I don't think you really believe that. If I believed Jesus was God himself, and if I believed the Eucharist is what you say it is, and I could have that kind of relationship with God, I'd be acting a lot differently in my life than you are now. I'd treat that time much differently than you, and I wouldn't take it for granted." And for the Muslim, God exists, but is entirely separate from creation. For us, we not only believe God exists, we also believe that he came to earth, became man, and died and rose again so that we could have a restored relationship with him. This isn't a God who judges you from afar. This is a God who's come to save us from judgment. All of that is wrapped up and summarized when we make that statement that Jesus is Lord. So when we talk about what we believe, and who we believe in, these aren't abstract facts that we should know like something you had to memorize for a quiz when you were in school. These are beliefs which should impact us throughout our lives. And in a way, that's what Jesus is getting at in the passage. He asks this question of the disciples, and they say Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But then Jesus proceeds to tell them about his death and resurrection, and follows this up by telling them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What Jesus is explaining is that you can't have a true faith in God without also having a trust in him and a love for him. Jesus is linking their statement that he is the Christ with this life of being a Christian. You can't just make that statement without the meaning behind it, without believing yourself that Jesus is Christ and letting that impact you in your life. It's not like some sort of password or shibboleth you can say to get eternal life, something to hold on to for the future. It's a belief that should be impacting your life now, from here on out. Now, Jesus isn't saying this is going to be easy, and it's not going to be an occasional thing. He says, deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him. People in the Middle Ages used to take this literally, causing pain to themselves. For those of you who may have seen or read the Da Vinci Code, don't worry, I'm not going to tell you you need to wear a hair shirt and go out and buy a whip. But this isn't a literal sense in that way. But this isn't something that's entirely figurative either. Each of us should wake up and go about our day with the expectation that we will need to deny ourselves and take up our cross. It may be someone wronging you and you as a Christian in turn forgiving them. It may be suffering through an illness and not taking your frustrations out on others and instead asking God for help. It could be putting up with all of the little mistakes that the new guy at work keeps making. And I'm sure if he were here, Father Jim would stand up and testify about that. It could be any number of things, and it will be tough. But we need to act out of our belief and love of God. And thankfully, it won't just be you acting. When you accept what it is you need to do, you will be acting with God's help. And he helps us to bear our cross. And that's one of the most important things to remember. When I've talked to many people about taking up their crosses, it seems like instead I'm often met with limitations. When people ask, you know, who am I to do that? I can't do this on my own. And it's tough, it's hard. But when we make that statement that Jesus is Lord, as members of his church, having been baptized into his life, death, and resurrection, it bounces back on us. Jesus is Lord, and together with that, we are his children, the children of God. We can't do these things on our own, but we have a Father who is there, who will always be there to help us and who we should pattern our lives off of. And it's a little like today, Father's Day. It's one thing telling your dad you love him, saying you're thankful for the things that he's done for you in his life, maybe even mailing a card or a gift certificate to something he likes. But it's another to say it and also to follow it up. Maybe spend time with him, or even for those men here who are fathers, to imitate that love that he showed you when you were growing up. And in turn, show that kind of love to your own children. And a really good father will support his kids in becoming good parents themselves. That's what this passage really points to, is imitation. And in the same way that a love for your father on earth showed only in words is incomplete, a faith in God that isn't lived out in a trust of God and a love of God in imitation of him is also incomplete. And when I personally think of that love that leads to imitation, I think of going with friends to what used to be the comic book convention they'd have in San Francisco each year. It was a huge event with people coming from all over. And at the time, if someone asked me if I was a fan of Star Wars or certain other films like that, I'd say yes. You know, I've seen them, I like them, I know some of the lines from them. But, and I speak from experience, The second you see a group of men walking toward you dressed as stormtroopers, with Darth Vader in the middle, you know you're not the biggest fan out there. Probably not even the upper half. And that's the same kind of passionate and quirky devotion that we as Christians should show in our faith. If someone can spend that much effort and work imitating a villain that a guy from Modesto came up with less than 50 years ago, how much should we imitate Jesus? You know, God himself who died for our sins. Going back to that passage, one of the hard things about doing this is that we often make too much of it in ways that are counterproductive. Looking at the previous example, I'm not saying that we should all try to dress like Jesus or something superficial like that. But we are people of faith, and we believe what we do. We should be diving into Scripture more and learning about what God is like so that we can be more like him. Other people may make it seem like all they need is faith, just a belief in God and nothing more. But they forget to look at faith in a fuller sense and see how essential hope and love are to faith. Some will take it the other route and see the direction to take up your cross and deny yourself and think that this is something that we can do on our own. And that's not true either. Instead, we need to see our striving for God's will in our life as an outgrowth of our faith, which is a gift from God and not something we can try to pursue or get on our own. So above all, we need to take this passage for what it says. It's important for us, we ourselves, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, God himself. And this belief shouldn't just be something we say, but a belief which shakes us to our core and directs us to lead lives like his. If we really believe Jesus is who he says he is, if he really is without sin, it's important for us to trust him, to live out lives of love, willingly seeking out ways to bear our crosses and show that love of God. Not just as part of our lives and not just when it's convenient for us, but day to day. Amen.